Well, we're going to be, as I said, looking at Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 6 this morning. And just a reminder to us for what we saw last week, where we thought of him as being the man of sorrows, the man of sorrows. It starts off in Isaiah chapter 3 of a report. It says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And we suggested last Sunday morning that this wonderful news of the Messiah, what the Messiah was going to do, was unbelievable. And it became unbelievable for the Jews in the first century AD, in the time of Jesus, simply because he was not the Messiah that they wanted or they expected. They wanted to see a David. They wanted to see a warrior, priest, king. And yet Jesus was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was the different type of Messiah, the only Messiah that there is. And let's just read verse 53, Isaiah 53, verse 3, where we read that he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. I want to remind ourselves that Isaiah wrote this chapter 500 years or so before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, so wonderfully in that chapter, he is depicting the suffering and the agonies of Jesus on that cross. It tells us that how Jesus went to the cross. But more importantly than that, and this is something that a lot of even hymns, but certainly certain books and certain films have not been able to depict. It tells us not only what Jesus did in going and dying on a cross, but why he died. It doesn't just tell us about the how and the when, but the why of it. And that's what makes this particular chapter important. Why Jesus went to the cross, why he died as he did. And that's what we're going to be exploring in these verses of Isaiah chapter 53 over the next couple of Sundays. And we're going to look at Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 6 this morning. So let's begin by looking at verse 4 and our first point. Jesus bears our sicknesses and carries our pains. Let's go to verse 4, Isaiah 53, verse 4. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." That's what the New King James Version says. More modern translations tend to refer to the fact that this word grief is a much broader meaning than the idea that we have in our English word of grief, because it has this idea of sickness, a physical sickness as well. And the sorrows, well, that talks about afflictions as well. And we get the sense of the real meaning of verse 4 when we see how it's used in the New Testament. And it's used in the Gospel of Matthew and Matthew chapter 8 and verses 16 to 17. So I want to turn to that particular text, Matthew 8, 16 to 17. And it's in the context where Jesus is healing great numbers of people. And we pick that up in verse 16. "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick." That was the healing ministry. Jesus had a healing and a teaching ministry, didn't he? Before he comes to Jerusalem for the last time. And there Matthew, inspired of God, the Holy Spirit, of course, this is the inspired word of God, in verse 17 tells us this, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." So he's quoting from Isaiah 50, 3, verse 4. And it's a reminder to us of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, his healing and his teaching ministry. But there's a question we can ask, and that is, how did the world see Jesus? How did his own people, there in the first century AD, in Palestine, how do they see Jesus? How did the very people who were healed and were hearing the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and saw Jesus ministering as he did to others, how did they see Jesus? Well, we find out from Isaiah 53, this is how they thought of him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he's done all that. He's been healing. He's been taking the sufferings and the agonies and the sicknesses and the illnesses and the afflictions of the people, and he's healed. Yet how do they see him? Well, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. I suggest to you that second part of the verse takes us to Calvary. In fact, I would say that it takes us to that point where the Lord Jesus Christ is carrying the cross, and he's going to the top of that Calvary. And how are the people seeing him as they see him carrying that cross? They see him bruised and battered and bloodied. He's been whipped, of course. They see him with a crown of thorns. They see him struggling to bear the cross. Remember that Joseph of Arimathea is stopped, isn't he? And he carries the cross. I got the wrong man, haven't I? There we are. I knew I hadn't written it down, so I needed to, I'm glad somebody's listening to me this morning. Anyways, yes, Simon, and he carries the cross, doesn't he? But the people are looking at him. And you've got to understand something of the theology, the thinking of the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people, what they've been told. When you were suffering afflictions, when you were in great trouble, when there were these great agonies that you're going through in the world, when you were suffering like Job, it was all because God was doing it to you. And so they would have been looking at Jesus, and they would have been seeing him as a man who is afflicted by God, a man who is being punished by God. And we might think of something like this in the crowd that was seeing him taking his cross to Calvary. They might have said, well, we thought he was someone special. We went out into the wilderness of Judea to hear him preach. We were there when he spoke to those 5,000 people. But now look at him. Look how he's suffering. Look at the agonies that he's in. Look at the bleeding on his back. Look how God has permitted this all to come upon him. And they may have considered him, well, as Isaiah tells us, a man who is stricken, smitten by God. God is punishing this guy and afflicted. And that poses a question, doesn't it? The question is, why? Why is this man suffering as he does? Why does it look as if God is afflicting him and punishing him? Is it because of sin there? Is it because he was not what he's supposed to be, what he was saying he was? Why is Jesus suffering in this way? Well, as I said at the beginning, Isaiah tells us why. And like so many other books we might read about Calvary or the cross, or even the films we might see, Isaiah tells us why. And he tells us why, and this is my second point here, is that Jesus was wounded for us. Jesus was wounded for us. And we see this in Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, those whiplashes, we are healed. Jesus was wounded for us. Wounded that so that through his sufferings, we would know peace with God. We would know healing. We would know our sins forgiven. Reading that verse 5, I don't know if you're like me, but I can remember a chorus that used to be sung when I was much younger, which went like this. Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. And look what Isaiah tells us there in verse 5, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace, peace with God. He was chastised for our peace. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Jesus, this is what Isaiah is telling us, Jesus is being punished, is suffering. The things that he is suffering, both physically and mentally and spiritually, there at the cross at Calvary, Jesus is being punished in our place. He took upon himself, both in his life and in his death, all those sins, all our sins, all those things that bar us from heaven, Jesus bore for us. Jesus, it was placed upon Jesus, and Jesus paid that price. Jesus is the sin bearer. He bears our sins. The one who knew no sin, as Peter tells us in the New Testament, who knew no sin, Jesus bore our sins for us. All that is, of course, is the sin of everyone who would believe in him, who would trust in him as their Savior and their Lord and their Redeemer. But that, of course, poses another question, another why. And that brings us to the third point. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ having to bear the sin, our sin, as he did so both in his life and especially upon the cross at Calvary? So our third point is this. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And that takes us to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. And there Isaiah tells us, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We read John chapter 10 as our first reading this morning, and we read there, and at least two times the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd. And we are the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. We are the sheep. The people of the world, and we are part of that people of the world, are a wayward sheep, aren't they? They have moved away from the Good Shepherd. They have moved away from God, away from Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And let me remind you that even the disciples did that. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, when they came to arrest Jesus, where were the disciples? They scattered. And Paul expresses the same truth that Isaiah does when Isaiah says, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, gone away from God." Well, Isaiah puts it like Paul puts it like this in Romans 3, verse 23. And we'll throw this up on the screen. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's true of every single one of us. We've all fall short. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it is sin, it is ungodliness, it is unbelief that makes us not hear the Good Shepherd's voice. It's that sin, it's that unbelief, that's ungodliness that doesn't enable us to hear the voice of the Father or the voice of Jesus. And that's true of all of us at some point in our lives. And if we're not Christians, if we're not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust and pray that you're beginning to hear the voice of God. You're beginning to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus speaking into your soul. And if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd, if we don't understand that God is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, then we haven't got Jesus. We haven't got eternal life, and we haven't got heaven. Let me quote again back to Isaiah 53, verse 6. And there we read, especially the last line, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Our sins, our transgressions, our unbelief, our wrongdoings, our ungodlinesses, they're all laid upon Jesus at the cross at Calvary. There upon that cross, Jesus bore the iniquity of us all, as Isaiah tells us. And there in those hours of darkness, those 3 hours of darkness at Calvary, and Jesus cries out, and we saw this last Sunday evening, he cries out in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, that's the moment when the weight of our sin is laid upon our Lord Jesus Christ. When all our sins, all our transgressions, all our iniquities, all our trespasses, all our unbelief are laid upon Jesus. That's the moment when the Good Shepherd, as we read in John 10, where the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Let me remind you of that passage. It's John 10 and verses 14 to 16. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And so let me ask you a question. Do you know the shepherd? Do you belong to Jesus? Do you see him as your good shepherd? Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd, and mean that to be, the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd, my Savior, Lord, and Redeemer? Then if you do see Jesus as the good shepherd, your shepherd, then you need to hear his voice. You need to follow in his footsteps. You need to be doing what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his physical life here on earth. And yet Jesus tells us also something wonderful. He tells us that there are other sheep that he is looking for. And we see that in John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. I ask, dear friend, do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your good shepherd? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you would have heaven, if you would have eternal life, you must have Jesus as your good shepherd. You must hear his voice. You must believe that he laid down his life for you as the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And you need to realize there's nothing you could give to God for your salvation. It was Jesus who had to do it for you. He had to bear your sin upon his own body as he dies upon that cross. And as Paul reminds us there again in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that word all means all of us. There's no one good enough. There's no one perfect enough. There's no one able to go to heaven without Jesus. There's only Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. Jesus is the one who takes your place. He has what you deserve, the very wrath of God, the judgment of God poured down upon him. He doesn't deserve it. He is a man without sin. But we deserve it. But there on the cross, Jesus received in his body, received in his soul, the pouring out of God's wrath and God's judgment upon himself. He dies for his sheep so that his sheep can go to the sheepfold of heaven and be with the Father and to be with Jesus in eternity. Let me take you back to Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And to those words right at the end. And by his stripes. And by his sufferings. By his agonies on the cross. We are healed. Healed of our transgressions. Healed of our sins. Healed of our unbelief. And by his stripes we are healed. I want to finish this morning quoting a verse of the hymn, and I'm sure it's a hymn that we will be singing at some point over the next couple of weeks. The hymn is, "There's a Green Hill Far Away." But I love that verse 4. And this, I think, sums it all up, really. Verse 4 says this, "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus in that John passage, chapter 10, also speaks of himself as the door. Well, he's opened the door. He opened the door at Calvary. He opened the door on the cross, didn't he? So that all and everyone who would believe in him and trust in him, they would be entering into the sheepfold of heaven and to be with him in eternity. There is no heaven without Jesus, because Jesus is the only way to the Father and the only way to eternal life. Let's bow our head in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this marvelous passage that speaks there of the suffering of our Savior, the one who, by his stripes, we are healed, the one who paid for all our sins, the one who bore in his body your wrath and the justice against us for sin. And we thank you that he was able to say on that cross, "It is finished," because the sacrifice was a complete and total and perfect sacrifice for our sins. And we thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for his sheep. And we thank you that he is the door to the sheepfold, and he has opened that gate that we may enter in. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that we have the assurance of Scripture and the assurance of God the Holy Spirit, that all who believe in him and trust in him, who have Jesus as the Good Shepherd, will be with him in heaven. Amen.